Hope you had a good week this week. Praying for one another, encouraging one another. When you think about somebody during the week, it's probably a good chance that might be a prompting of the Holy Spirit to pick up the phone, call them, or text them, or email, carrier pigeon, whatever you use, or go by and see them, drop in and see them, and communicate, and just let them know I'm praying for you. God put you on my heart. Now, if you have your Bible today, if you'll turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. You who are here at 9:30 today think, oh man, we're going to be in the book of Acts all day long. That's right. as you turn there, let me kind of set this up for you today. We're going to work through part of this chapter, maybe some parts of this that we normally miss in chapter 5. Because in chapter 5 of Acts, what people normally think of, they think of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Spirit. People were selling land and giving the purchase price, coming and laying it at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira did that, except they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they only brought part of it. Both of them dropped dead. And that's where we're going to pick up in the story. In verse 10, as we read there, "And immediately she fell at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband." Because Ananias, it had already happened to him. And verse 11, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all that heard these things." Now, wouldn't great fear come for you? I was watching one of those Indiana Jones movies yesterday, where he and his dad have gotten into the dirigible, and they're about to make a trip out of Germany, and the Nazis are after them, and they think, well, we're home free, and the Nazi leader, boys, oh no, the guy boards, and he comes in, and he finds them out. Well, Indiana Jones changes outfits with this waiter guy, and he comes up behind the guys. He's about to arrest his dad, and he grabs him and says, "No, you're not going to arrest us," and he throws him out the window of the dirigible. And about that time, and everyone's in shock and awe around. They're looking at him. What has just taken place? And he says, "He didn't have a ticket." And about that time, everyone picks up their ticket and says, "Here's my ticket. Here's my ticket." Well, a very similar thing was happening in Acts chapter 5. Great fear came on the church as they became very careful about what they were doing, that it mattered to God what they were doing and how they were doing it. And when the Bible uses this word fear, it means great awe and respect came. In verse 12, "And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord on Solomon's portico." Now, this geography ain't going to mean much to you unless you will go online and look at a schematic of Jerusalem and see exactly where we are. But this is toward the eastern part of the temple. And just beyond that is the Gate Beautiful. Yeah, the colonnade, the Solomon's portico, which is a covered porch. Colonnade has the columns and an open area where they could assemble. Could be a lot of people that could assemble under there. And that's where they were at this time. But a few chapters earlier, remember the silver and gold have I none story? The lame fella, he was sitting at the gate beautiful, which is just across the courtyard, just across the court of Gentiles there. So it's familiar area where Peter and John and the other disciples have been coming back and forth in the temple there. So this is a familiar gathering place for them. And by the way, and if you look out of to the east there, there's the Kidron Valley. As the Temple Mount goes down, there's the Kidron Valley. And there, just across, is the Garden of Gethsemane. So all of these are right there. Signs and wonders are taking place. What does that mean? Miracles are taking place. Majestic things are taking place. In fact, all the evangelism, you can't teach evangelism out of the book of Acts and not have signs and wonders. Take the signs, take the miraculous away, take the miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit away in the book of Acts, and you have no evangelism. You can't teach a class in evangelism and not talk about signs and wonders. Not talk about power encounters. Not talk about God doing His God thing and arranging that people would be there and they would see these marvelous things happening. And they were seeing it happen. Follow along with me as we go. Got to follow closely today or you're going to miss this. Because I've got something real special for you at the end of this today's message. And none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. In other words, they were assembling, and some of them didn't know. I don't know if I want to be a part of these people because of this. Ananias and Sapphira, they dropped dead. But I see these marvelous things happening. So they're acknowledging that God is doing something. Verse 14, and all the more the believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. What does that mean? Evangelism. That means people were hearing the good news of Jesus and their lives were changing. It didn't stop after that great outpouring at Pentecost where we see 3,000. In fact, it's just building up steam now. As the gospel message is going to go, it's going to explode to the world. Historically, you cannot find another event, another thing that comes anywhere close to what happened with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in history that compares to it. I mean, even if you took all of your quote religious beliefs out of it, just to look at it as a people movement, To see this kind of thing happen and happen as rapidly and in a viral manner as it went to the world, you can't find it in history. And take it from me. I've read history. You've read it. There's nothing like this in history. Yet, let me quickly add that historians demean this. They minimize this. And they try to act like it doesn't exist. They are lying when they do that. Verse 15. To such an extent, all this was happening that people, as people were coming to Christ, that people carried the sick out into the streets and they laid them on cots and pallets. So when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any of them. What about that now? Even the shadow. Now, don't view this as prescriptive activity. View it as descriptive. Are you following me? That doesn't mean, you know, we need to have a shadow ministry. That starts, you know. That's just like Westerners. That's just like Americans, you know. We tell, oh yeah, we'll have a shadow ministry. that they'll go on like that. And in that, you just rob it of its power. No, we don't need to be thinking like, what would Jesus do if he were here? No, that's wrong. What would Jesus do? WWJD is wrong. It's not if he were here. He is here. What is Jesus doing since he is here? That's the power. Do you see it? Do you see the difference in that? Not if we somehow, in our control and power over things, we would allow Jesus to come. Listen, he's working here in the city of Savannah. We've got to decide whether we're going to cooperate with him or not. Do you get it? Does that make sense? That's the Word of God. That's what this was. So don't view it as prescriptive. View it as descriptive, because God may want to use all sorts of other things through you. Through history, we can see that he used all sorts of things. Follow with me now. So they got their cots, their pallets out there, laid the sick out so they can, you know, the shadow people can come by. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. So we got people with physical ailments. We got people that are possessed by demons that are out there. And word has gone out, man. It's gone out to the highways and the hedges. Bring them on in, because something is happening. Power is happening. We see that happening today in our culture, don't we? People are attracted to things like that. A flash dance. Someone's attracted to that. A lot's going on. It's happening over there. Audrey and I were coming home late one Friday night, Thursday night, Friday night, night of the week it was. This has been a couple of years ago. We're coming out 204. We passed by, the old Piggly Wiggly that used to be there at Georgetown. You know, the right-hand side as you're coming out, 204? Yeah, where the Chinese place is. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Spoken like a true man. Geography by food. Weight of a man's heart. Through his stomach, ladies, that's true. That is true. And we look over there, and I said, what's happening at the pig? It's 11:30 at night, midnight. What's happening at the pig? So we pulled on around. That whole parking lot was full of these small cars, like Honda Civics and little cars with big wheels and modified mufflers, and I looked out there, and there was just a sea of humanity, and they were all out there just standing around. Man, they're having a big time, and people were pulling in there. Man, it was one of these people, and people were attracted to us. Even an old codger like me. I mean, I wanted to go in there and go hang out. Audrey said, I don't think you'll fit in that group. And about the time we pulled around there to look in, I saw blue lights. And they pulled in there. And suddenly, people had no more interest in being at that place. And they all left. I mean, inside of 2 minutes, everyone was gone. And I wondered, where did they go? Where was their next place? Yeah. Look at all the things we will do to gin up some kind of excitement. What I'm reading to you here is something that didn't have to be ginned up. When they got there, when the people got there, it was more than they could describe. It was deeper than they could describe. It It surprised them. You know, those folks that showed up at whatever you called that flash gathering of these small modified cars. When they got there, after about a few minutes, they had already hit the peak. The excitement was gone. And it's on the way down. Let me tell you, when these people arrived coming into Jerusalem, all these places, the excitement had only just begun. You think about it. Because it launches a movement. You read in the book of Acts from this place on that people begin laying down their lives for this Jesus that they encounter. Do you understand me? We move on. Scripture says they were delivered, they were healed, they were saved. Verse 17. Now, up to this point, we have a lot of people who have come into agreement with and obedience to, and even the people that are standing off at a distance and saying, I don't know if I'm going to be a part of that. Even they're not doubting that it's real. They just don't know if they want to dive into it or not. They don't know what's going to happen. They can't control it. Boy, that's a thing in our society, isn't it? We want a controlled output. Yeah. You know, we do kind of have this anal retentive idea about life and about how we're going to control the outcomes of things and all. And here's the truth. You never have been able to control it, have you? Never. Because God isn't going to let you control it. It's not up to you. He's not joining your wagon train. You either get on His train or you're going nowhere fast. But then there's another group of people that enter the scene. And the high priest rose up. Now, here are the religious guys. You've got to have the religious guys in there. And, of course, they're supposed to be the hall monitors for what's going on in spiritually what's happening. And they see themselves being bypassed in this. Let's see what it says. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates. That is to say, the sect of the Sadducees. He happened to be a part of the larger party. We tend to remember the Pharisees. Pharisees were the narrow, you know, real ultra-conservative, legalistic types. The Sadducees were the much larger political party within their religious political system. They were liberal in their approach. They didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. It more or less was just a religious system for them. And the high priest was a part of that party. They laid hands on the apostles. Now, when it says laid hands, it does not mean to bless them. It's kind of like, you know, with my children sometime, when I say I'm going to lay hands on you. And I tell, particularly my boys, I've had to tell them in the past, do you see what shape my hands are in right here? In the shape of your neck. I'm sorry. I know y'all are thinking about a lot of things right now, but let's move on. So they laid hands on the apostles and they put them in a public jail. Always, that we're going to stamp them out, put them away. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go, stand and speak to the people of the temple the whole message of this life Now remember, up to this point in time, it wasn't called, they weren't called Christians. It wasn't called Christianity. They were called people of the way. This life, this way of life, way of life, way of life, way of life. Man, it almost could be a song. Way of life. We have reduced it, a little side note, footnote out to the side. We reduced Christianity to a religion. Never meant to be that. Oh, that's okay on Sunday, but or whenever we gather, but the rest of my week, I'm going to do it this way. That, it was never meant to be that way. Never. It's meant to be a way of life. So the angel, you know, takes him out. Imagine what that was like. You know, the doors are open, and who's there standing to usher you out? An angel of the Lord. We see these miracles taking place. We still have angels around. You think there are angels looking in right now? You better believe they are. You better believe they are. Cooperating with the plan of God. Go stand and speak to the people in the temple. The whole message of this light. Upon hearing this, they did exactly what they were instructed to do. They entered the temple and about daybreak began to teach. Now, go back to the high priest. When the high priest and his associates came, they called a council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. Now imagine this. They're having their little meeting over here, not very far from where Peter and the gang are back preaching Jesus to the crowd. And the power of the Holy Spirit is coming, and they're sending to the jailhouse to get them. Isn't this comical? I mean, they're doing stuff. They don't even know what's going on, because what's going on is not measured by man's standards. It's measured by God. It's measured spiritually. And the officers who came did not find them in prison. They returned and reported back saying, "We found the prison house locked. Doors are locked." Imagine that. Doors are locked. But nobody's home. They've been delivered, set free. The guards are standing outside like they're guarding something. But they're guarding empty space, because the ones they're supposed to be guarding are out on the street now preaching the word, out sharing the gospel, being obedient. "When they opened up, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest," verse 24, "heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about this, about them, as to what would come of this." Why are they perplexed? They might die because of this. Because they've sent for these prisoners and they're not there. "But someone came and reported to them, 'The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people.'" They're back there at Solomon's portico, out there next to the court of the Gentiles, and they're preaching. "Then the captain went along with the officers, proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people." They're afraid they might be stoned. You understand that? They didn't want to mistreat Peter and the disciples, because the people are seeing the power of God. "When they brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them." Now I want you to pay close attention. "Saying, 'We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.'" Now, have they said anything incorrect yet? We gave you strict order. Yes, check. Not to continue teaching. Checked. In this name, the name of Jesus, check. And yet you have filled Jerusalem, check. With your teaching, check. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us, check. Check, 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 check. They're telling the truth. Are they angry with Peter because they misunderstood him? Are they angry with these guys because they... No, they're angry with them because they've done exactly what they said they were going to do. Now listen to the next part. And Peter and the apostles answered. This is the key. This is what's rich for us today. This is the word God gave me for you today. This is it. We must obey God rather than men. That's it. We must obey God rather than men. We know that's what you told us. We know all this stuff, but we don't have to answer to you. We have to answer to God. They're playing their life for an audience of one. Only one opinion matters. See how much that simplifies life? But I want you to see what a rich environment that it creates for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We're wondering, well, why isn't God doing this and that? Let me tell you, God's doing it. We're just not participating. He's ready to move. He's ready to act. He's ready to work. He's ready to save. He's ready to deliver. Boy, what if Savannah, Georgia was delivered from the power of the enemy? Woo! The darkness that is over this city that in times we see manifested. And so, did you see the news? As a front page of one section. It had a chart of crime and heat. The heat wave and the crime. Charting them together. And I thought, well, hey, we don't even have to talk about the adults. I'm just thinking about all the little innocent boys and girls, little children that are getting it in the teeth because evil has reign and rule. I mean getting it in the teeth on a daily basis. Abused, mistreated, all the stuff that's happening. And it's not just one part of town. And hey, if you're laboring under that one, you need to start smoking something else. You've been smoking stuff that's got your brain out of there. It there's not a community, there's not an area, it's the down and outs, it's the up and outs, it's the over and outs. It's affecting everybody here. They got serious about obedience. And you know what? They started seeing obedience as a non-choice. Ooh. Follow me here if you dare. Obedience for the American church, we teach it as a choice. You choose to be obedient or not. And I'm going to rankle a few of you with this. I'm here to show you today in the Word of God, there was no choice. They had already chosen. I'm going to be obedient. They're not waiting for God to speak and then decide whether or not they're going to be obedient. They made the decision ahead of time when they started following Jesus. That is the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you choose to follow Jesus, that means you choose to be His disciple. That means you've already chosen to be obedient. Look at the rest of what He said. He said, after He says, we must obey God rather than men, He reminds them, the God of our Father, Yahweh, raised up Jesus, Yeshua, His Son, whom you had put to death by hanging Him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to His right hand as a Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel. You know what He just did? Here He's speaking to these religious leaders, and He's going back to the Old Testament. He is going back to those passages, that passage in Isaiah that talks about, you know, the Prince, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's Prince of all. He's the Prince of Peace. He's going back and He is putting all that together, and He's saying, this Jesus that you hanged on a tree is the one who is the revelation of God to man. And oh, you can just see it. It's just boiling within them. Because He's telling the truth. This Jesus came to grant repentance to Israel, change of mind and heart, and forgiveness of sins. And we are martus. We are martyrs. That's what the word witness is there. It's the word martus. We are martyrs to this. We are witnesses. I mean, if you're going to understand witness, witness means, the root of it is the word martyrs, from which we get our word martyr, which means I am a witness that is willing to lay down His life and fully expect that I'm going to give my life to, in the service of my King. Fully expect that. Are there any people in the world like that today? Go to the Chinese church. And there's a bunch of them. Go to the church in North Korea. Go to some of the church that is meeting in Iran at this time. Go to the oppressed church all over the world, and you'll find people who believe this very same thing. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. Of course, the three verses, well, we had Father, Yahweh, Son, Yeshua, and the Huios, Hagios, the Holy Spirit. And God has given to those who obey Him. Will you follow Him? What has God said to you? Now, if God, I'm going to be obedient and say that I'm going to follow this in my life, I'm going to have to tell you two things. One is, as soon as I read that passage about we're not going to obey men, we're going to obey God, God spoke two things to me. I said, Lord, is there anything that you're going to speak to me about that right now? And one, He said, I want you to say to the congregation, there is no other way but Jesus. If you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. If you come to Him and ask Him to come into your life. He'll forgive your sin. He'll make you a new person. Do you want to become a Jesus follower today? That's the first thing He told me. The second thing He told me was to announce to you that next Sunday, I'm going to give away money. I won't tell you how much. I want you to think about it. But for months, God has put this on my heart, and I've not told another soul about it. Not mentioned another soul. But I'm going to give away some money next week at 11 o'clock here, and with a challenge. And I hope you'll be here for that. I'm not going to tell you anything else. I'm going to let you stew on it for the week. And don't call Delilah to see if she can get it out of me. I know I just mixed my metaphors there. She's not here to defend herself. So. All right. Going to open the altar. You heard from God today? What did He say to you? These people moved and did what God told them to do. Now don't sit here today and tell me God is not speaking to you. That's not true. That is not true. The only question is, am I listening to what God is saying to me? Now, He may not be hearing it. Now, that may be a true statement. I'm not hearing it clearly. I spend a lot of time with that. Am I hearing you clearly? But don't say He's not speaking. He is speaking to you. Not to the person next to you, so you can hear. And by the way, and let me tell you, 99 out of 100 that ever say, well, the first thing God spoke to me was something for you. You know, about 99 out of 100 times that people say that's sin. And that's wrong. Because that's not how God speaks first. He speaks to us personally. So don't come with the first thing and say, oh, God told me this, but until you've done something with what He spoke to you. What's He speaking to you? Makes sense. Now I want you to know, I'm standing before you. I'm kind of black and blue. I got on black today. I got to get some blue because this one's kind of messed me up a little bit today. And I'm not just messing with your minds today. Okay? I'm speaking what God's put in my heart. Now the altar's here. If you want to receive Jesus today, if you want to be prayed for because you're sick and you want God to heal you, if you want to be delivered, you feel demonic influence in your life and you want people to pray over you to deliver. If you need prayer for anything else, this altar's open. Come. Come. Let God move, let Him speak. Let's pray. Well, Lord, sometimes I don't feel like I said all of what I was supposed to say, but that ain't today. Lord, I'm praying right now, the stuff that sticks, let it have that Holy Spirit Velcro and stick. And stuff that isn't meant for us as individuals. But God, I know in this today, You've spoken to all of it, all of us, and we need to respond. So I'm asking You, Lord, that we can respond in faith and trust. Lord, make it clear right now. What are You saying to us? Lord, I'm praying for anyone here who's never received Jesus. Today's the day of salvation. Today. Lord, as we open the altar, we ask you to come in power. In Jesus' name. Look this way, if you will. Has God spoken to you today? Well, he's not going to stop. Because as you go out from the meeting time, today as we've gathered, now we're going to scatter. We're going to scatter so we can serve him. Where we go, we're going to serve. You know, Jason's about to go over to the Nats. Again, he's chaplain over there. We're going to go to all these places. When we go, we're carrying with us the good news of Jesus. Let's remember that. I send you out in his love and in his power and in his grace. A grace that is greater than all our sin. A love that is deeper than any love that the world could ever imagine, and a mercy that goes beyond what we could imagine God having for anybody. We thank him. Amen.